Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. Today, the live broadcast is intention only because Facebook put me in video jail. And it's kind of poetic because this morning, as I was talking about anticipating today's broadcast and about what I wanted to talk about, I was struggling to think of something worthy, struggling to not go into a dark place. So many things on my mind were just self-defeating and negative. And while I don't believe that Hug Nation needs to be feel good and optimistic and yay, yay, happy, happy all the time, I do intend and I do, it's supposed to be a recalibration of the heart. It's supposed to be an opportunity once a week to remember who our highest selves are, to connect with like-minded, like-hearted people. And so I don't want it to be a place where I just vent. And yet that is the mindset that I was in. I kept seeing the things that were negative, kept focusing on what's wrong. Even as I know that pattern, that habit is problematic. I should preface by saying, I have a charmed life. I am so blessed. All the things that are annoying right now, in the grand scheme of things, are so minor. My personal things. But there's something about the landscape right now that has me struggling. A combination of what's happening externally in the world and combined with some of my personal discipline issues, some of my poor habits, some of my failures to do what I know I need to do if I want to be happier and more enjoying life, more in a happy space, more crap or cone. I mean, I know that's what I need to do. I need to be focusing on what's good. And I'm sitting here going, yeah, 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 I know I'm supposed to be talking about the ice cream cone, but... And so in some dark and icky way, I know that I'm choosing to be in a funk, choosing this depression in some dark way. And unfortunately, that concept does not relieve the sense of depression or funk or anxiety. It accelerates or enhances that feeling. So I will try to forgive myself, but also acknowledge my truth and maybe turn it around, or at least acknowledge the classroom as we are in this. So thank you for being a part of this connection on archive, whether that is audio through the podcast or video through YouTube. I have been talking lately a lot about things in the news, and I'm conflicted in my responsibility as a human being of how much I need to pay attention. But I'm also struggling because I'm so drawn in and addicted to the Facebook rapid information flood of just stimulus. And I find myself craving it. I find myself saying, hey, don't check social media first thing in the morning. And then I so want to, and often do. And so as I make that decision, how can I not expect to not feel my best? I know I shouldn't have done that. And I've had similar challenges with my behaviors lately with food and sweets and sugar. The other night, I even like socializing, like I know I need to get out of the house more. I need to be in nature more. I need to be with people more. And I'm really struggling to leave the house a lot. I'm someone joked like, you're not agoraphobic, are you? And I was like, of course not. And then kind of looked at some of my behaviors and looked at how challenging sometimes it is for me to be in crowds, Which is crazy because sometimes I love it. But the other night I was, you know, I think it was Friday night, Saturday night, some like, you know, a night when people should or often are social. And I was home alone and decided that I was going to treat myself to some red vines. I was craving red vines and I was going to let myself have some red vines. But it was weekend, right? The least I could do for myself was have some red vines. And I said, you know what, as long as I'm getting out on the town, I'm just going to walk, you know, a couple blocks to the CVS, but I'm going to dress up a little bit. I was already just kind of wearing all black, but I put on my white leather jacket and it was like, put on my headphones and just like strutted to the CVS. I'm sure I was a sight and kind of had fun. And then when I was there, I bought more than just red vines. I bought two things of red vines and I bought a big thing of peanut butter M&Ms and I bought a thing of holiday bark, like the chocolate peppermint, and a vegetarian macaroni bowl. I had like the bag that I brought was like, I couldn't close it. It was so full of stuff. And then while I was out, I decided, you know what, I'll stop on the way home and get a beer at the local pub. That turned into two, and then I came home, and sometime when I got home, I ended up dropping the peppermint bark, so it was out of sight. But I ate everything else. Everything else I ate that night. All the red vines, all the chocolate M&Ms. And even my macaroni bowl. And of course, the challenge, the bummer is I can't just be like, I slipped. Because now I've affected my biology. I've affected the way I feel into the next day. And now I'm in this slump of now wanting to try to do things or eat things that will counteract this icky feeling that I have. And even if intellectually I know that, I still desire to make it stop, to make it better. You know, I'm sure as you're watching this and listening, you probably have a list of 10 things that I could do or should do that would make things better for me. Guess what? I know those things too. That's what makes this so self-defeating and frustrating. Those are all the internal things. Well, actually, that's not all the internal things. Those are the big internal things that I've been struggling with. My discipline issues, my lack of self-care, and the compounding nature of that, as then my health doesn't feel so good, my body doesn't feel so good, and then it gets harder and harder to turn it around as the kind of the hole gets deeper. And then there's all the stuff in the world, you know, and it seems like it just keeps gets worse and worse. Because it's like this darkness of ideas and opinions and corruption. And that's one thing to have this darkness out there. But everything seems to be infected by darkness. Every opinion that is expressed becomes a starting place for a dialogue of aggression and anger. And so rather than seeing this spot of darkness, everything is getting everywhere, every community becomes infected with this anger and this aggression. I'm finding myself more sympathetic with people that I disagree with, but communicate with respect and peace far more than people that I agree with, but are attacking and angry. Because the only chance of progress is through respect and love and peace. The other direction is simply more and more fighting. And it's the constant fighting and the presence of the awareness of the sides that cannot find common ground and don't want common ground. They want to win. They want the other person to lose. They want the other person to be stupid. And that's gotten so much worse lately as we have these kind of these ideas of mass corruption, the claims that Hillary bought the DNC, and whether or not that is true or not, but that idea of this, the depth of the corruption in our system. And in some ways you could say, well, if that's what she did, she understands the system, and that's good. That means she's a good leader. But it's like, oh gosh, but it's the awareness that that is the system we live in. The sophistication of manipulation is so strong. And then at the same time, we have this Mueller investigation and the potential uncovering of Russia ties to the heist of our nation. And then the possibility that even as that is happening, it might not matter. It's one thing to know that there's corruption out there, but, you know, our system has corruption. It's another thing to for the corruption to be uncovered, legally shown to be, which hasn't happened yet, but legally shown to be. And then what happens if nothing happens? That's a line that I don't know if you can come back from. And so, like, this idea that the law of the land might be at risk, and there's tons of people that don't care, or they don't understand what's at stake. Like, these are these are not bummers. These are massive shifts in lifestyle and livelihood and interpersonal and communities and like, and maybe this is me freaking out for no reason, you know, and this is all part of this ailment that I have right now where I can't let go of it enough to be present and appreciate the joys in my life, at least for long enough. This weekend, I had a perfect Saturday where I got first Saturdays and got to interact with the needy, and that was beautiful. And then I had a hike with my parents, and that was beautiful. And then I walked at sunset and danced in sunset, and that was beautiful. And I was like, yes, this is what I need to recalibrate. But that took all day. It took a lot of effort, but clearly worth it, right? And the thing that I'm aware of as that, you know, that day was winding down and I was felt great, was that all of those activities took place offline, away from the computer. So, you know, I know I shouldn't eat it. I know I should do this. And it there's also, I've been going through a lot of old hard drives and taking old videos of mine and old writing, and some interesting things have been stirred up in me. Some of it is like excitement of finding these old things that I didn't know I'd already written or things that I'd forgotten. There's some like kind of scary awarenesses as I saw that there some of the essays or the chapters that I wrote for my recent memoirs I'd already written and totally forgot. And then there were very relevant additional stories that I, not only did I not remember writing them, I didn't remember them happening. I'm like, wait, I met Wayne Brady in Vegas? I have no memory of this. And this kind of like silly awareness that I have about poor memory is like, whoa, it's way worse than I thought it was. And as I look at these old things, I also realize, oh, I used to be more adventurous than I am now. I used to be more active. I used to be healthier. And not necessarily any less skilled in what I consider to be my talents and purpose in speaking and talking. In fact, I think I used to be probably better in a lot of ways. I'm probably, yeah, I don't know. And some of all of this could be about a deteriorating of discipline, which is, again, there's, hand me a list of things I should do. In fact, this morning I was watching a video that I recorded 10 years ago, and I'm like, yep, this is all the things I need to hear. You'd think because I'm saying it, I would ingest it more easily, but no, it actually kicks in more of my doubt and judgment, because it feels like, you know, like glory days. Oh, I used to, I coulda, I shoulda, I woulda. And that's, there's so much of this path of trying to get better and feel better that has to be balanced with the danger of shoulding myself. So it's this state of knowing there's so much. There is so much that's bad. I didn't even mention, while all of this is happening, there's another mass shooting. And maybe this is the thing that is the most disturbing at all. 26, 28 people killed in a church. And for the first time, it barely affected me. And I was like, I had to go find articles and like read details of it, because I'm like, this is scary. This headline is like, whew. Of course, like it's just, it's, what's different about this? Like, can't we just expect this? And that is a terrible feeling, to like have found my baseline, accept mass shootings like that. To found my new normal include that. So how do we stay in this place of being love warriors without succumbing to being overwhelmed and not enoughness or too many shoulds? I mean, I guess the answer is, well, I'm sure it's super simple. I'm sure it's something of like, be present, have integrity, align with love. That would make sense. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I guess more than just putting the sticker on everything, I actually have to do it once in a while. Interesting, when I was watching the old Hug Nation, I used to start every Hug Nation with a moment of mindfulness to let go of all the stories of the day and get present. And then once I was doing it on Facebook Live, and I realized that when people watched the archives, the first thing they would see would be this meditation, and they probably wouldn't keep watching. I got hung up on trying to make a better experience for an audience. And perhaps that is the, you know, that is the consequence of, I don't know, vanity, of letting go of the presence, of the intention of what I'm supposed, what I know I should be doing, which is just show up and be in truth. And so maybe that is the one of the takeaways of progress, is that I need to integrate presence more, not just in my personal practice, but in my art and my work. And if that is not exciting enough and flashy enough to keep the numbers high and in the viewers, in the live viewers, well then so be it. Because as always, that game ends in losing. Getting caught up in the numbers is always ends in the bad place. Which is beautiful and ironic and poetic that as I am saying this now, I'm saying it for the first time in many years, I'm speaking Hug Nation without the live audience, without any numbers. I don't know, obviously no one is listening now, but I don't know if anyone will listen in the future. But I am, it's interesting, I am aware that I'm speaking to you. As always, I'm speaking to the eye of the camera and speaking to you, as I am also speaking to me, as I am speaking to the collective human experience, as I am experiencing it and as well as I am receiving it. And I think we all get to play our role, and you are a part of this, even if you're not here live. So you're watching this in the future. What's it like? So Oh, and then I had another experience. So this weekend, as I was finding myself frustrated by all the corruption in the world and in government and every side of government, and I decided, you know, that no one is trustworthy. There's someone. I was in a conversation while I was eating red vines in the bar. The guy next to me said, "Hey, dude, red vines? Can I use one as a straw?" I'm like, "Hell yeah! Who else wants a red vine straw for your beer?" I'm sure the brewmaster is spinning in his brewery grave, but I was talking with this person, and they were saying that they have respect for someone who is like pro-life and fights for pro-life, even though this person is pro-choice, because I can respect someone who fights for what they believe in and has integrity according to their values. But that's not what we see in politics. We see people making this stance, making this charade, facade of what they think needs to be said to get what they want. And then when that is exposed, they just change it. And these are not just, these are the leaders. These are the people that are with the lights and the TV cameras on them. These are the examples that we have of what is acceptable. And that baseline is so frustrating for me. So I went online and I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna, oh man, this isn't recording anymore, or never was recording. Oh man. Or maybe it's only audio. I think we got audio. Okay, well, we got audio. And I started listening to or watching videos by, what's her name? Teal Swan. I've seen some of her videos in the past, and a few people have suggested it, and she often comes up in suggested videos. She's, you know, speaks about many personal growth things, but also very deeper into the realm of, I don't know, woo-woo things, angels and spirits and aliens and crystals, you know, much more into that realm, but also a lot of very helpful philosophies. And so I ended up listening to a while and trying to like open up my mind and be more trusting and listen to the things that she was saying, even if they were kind of difficult for me to embrace. And then so I ended up watching this very long video where she told her story, and I was like, holy crap, I had no idea she had this the most horrific childhood I've ever heard of, like ritualistic, satanic blood rituals and murdering of children and just years and years of this insane abuse. And I'm like, I was like, oh my God. And then it was so much that I was like, is it possible that this is not true? And then, you know, did a little search and realized, yep, there's tons of people that have questioned and tons of videos and articles saying she's making all this up. And whether or not she is, it's almost doesn't matter. It just was further evidence that everything is so fragile. Nothing has the solid foundation to like anchor to, and maybe that's the point too, is that to look for solace, to look for aid in the physical world outside of myself or ourselves is a losing battle. It is a quest that will be fruitless. Whether that external thing is information and teachers and videos, whether that external thing is food or drink, whether that external thing is Facebook updates and entertainment. I'm guessing most of the list of shoulds are going to come back to silence, solitude, gratitude, relationships, nature. And yet, it's so hard for me to let go of this, the power that I feel to this connection to you, to this digital community that I find so comforting and encouraging and loving. So maybe there's a middle path, not fully abstaining, but not becoming addicted so that I cannot experience the deeper truths, the deeper peace, the ever-present connection. So let's do a hug, and we'll focus on that connection to ourselves, to the other, to the oneness. Grab yourself by the shoulders and just feel the stillness, letting go of everything that happened before, everything I've said, and just becoming aware of all the sensations in your world right now, sounds and smells and aches and pressure in your body. And then we'll take three breaths together in this present moment as expressions of a perfect one. In through the nose. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the love warriors, happy Hug Nation.